The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, Mission of Maitreya, Eternal Divine Path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teachings first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teaching will not have microphone privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teaching and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Send the questions which are too personal and or are not related to the teachings to questions@maitreya.org. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsang, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom, everybody. Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya's Conversation Room. I hope all of you have been working great for the mission for the last 2 weeks and studying the website and seeing the truth of God's revelation and little by little become proficient in this revelation that we need to see the humanity to realize it so badly. And we can see that there is a real division is forming for the West and the East. And since the playing field has been flattened and the grace is released to whole humanity, they have to recognize and realize that they are brothers and sisters and they should come together as God's children by sharing and reaching to resources in the universe. They recognize that they have to bring godliness among them and realize that the Kali Yoga, the age of darkness, is ending, and they should release their dogmas and understanding of the religions that have created by man and bound them in a sort of freedom. And the time is correct, the signs all are on earth, that humanity indeed is in the brink of a great evolutionary step, and the way to achieve it is this revelation from God to them. The more they resist this, the more we wait and will not get involved, would not do our part to bringing this to humanity, the longer it will take. Therefore we can see we are called for a great purpose on earth, and that purpose is to recognize and realize that God indeed exists, and He is in charge, and He is directing the universe toward its fulfillment, to make man realize that they have to become divine. They have to manifest God's quality toward themselves, toward their families, toward their society and communities, and eventually spread to whole earth. So we reach a point that we see the truth of the universe instead of following our dogmas, misunderstanding of religions, and not seeing that God has His revelation like a puzzle in different parts of the world, and each of them has a part of the puzzle. If they don't put the puzzle together, they cannot see the whole vision. They have each some pieces of the puzzle, but the whole puzzle is the eternal divine path, the seven revelation that God said He will send to humanity, and now it is here, and we have seen Him, therefore we have to explain it to the rest of humanity. They realize that none of them has a truth that doesn't have dogma, doesn't have man-made understanding. They cannot be the chosen one. They cannot just meditate and go to God. They are not the only way. And even the only way, it is the truth. But the way has come seven times. The only way brought a part of the way in different revelation. And now the way is been shown, and the only way now is the whole way, not a part. So it's a call to all to come to see, to understand. Indeed, the call to all is the name of our newsletter, which we just published the latest version of it. It's beautifully made. And we encourage everybody go to our website or subscribe to it, so it will be sent to all of you, and read it and see that what creative minds can do. And the more we have people that they can bring their creativity and beauty into the mission, greatly we can manifest in many levels. We can have the most beautiful architects and architectural buildings. We can build the temple. We can create communities which are efficient, creative, and their creativity are released because they share with each other, and therefore they are not in the rat race anymore. But they can concentrate on God and higher things, and eventually humanity sees that how wonderful thing people can do when they can come and share with each other and overcome their individual ego as a separate and disconnected being, that eventually ego become warped and like a warp star would not even let the light escape it. But they become open and creative, accepting anything godly and rejecting anything is not godly. Therefore, more and more they become godly themselves, not as a dogmatic person that says, if you do not listen to my dogmas, you are gonna go to hell, or I'm gonna chop your head off, or I'm gonna bomb you or destroy you. But as a person that knows the truth with no dogma and sees the essence of God even in the most hideous being, and tries to polish that jewel in that person and bring that beauty out from them. The more jewel we will have on earth, the more shining we will become. And God said, I will send my prophets and reveal these things to you, but it is you who walk the path. If that was not the case, why we have chaos and darkness in the beginning? If God just could say to the darkness, okay, now you are no longer darkness and you are light, believe just in a couple of these dogmas and you're going to be returning to heaven, why He has to go through this elaborate creation and revelations and history, and now he is telling humanity this is the way to return to God. Unless we recognize and realize those who believe that believing in a few dogmas will take them to heaven, they don't have it correctly, because that is not the way God created the creation and history and the path to return to light. It is a path. It is the path, and there is a place you want to go through that path. You have to start walking that path. So it is paramount for all those who hear this message to spread it, to reach out to everyone that they can, in any way they can, and also come together and create the communities and share with one another. Therefore, we can create vibrant communities whose members are creative and dedicated and one-pointed, and they are community material, not what is in it for me, but what is in it for the community, and what is the will of God for me in this community. That is the way God is revealed to humanity that will work. And those who have ears to hear will hear, and eyes to see will see, that all the signs and the tribulation and things that God said will come through has come through and will come through. If we recognize that it will happen, God's kingdom will come, then there is nothing to be worried about. The only thing left for us is trust that promise and focus and become one-pointed in what God has revealed to us. And now that we know how the puzzle fit together, we can also show it to other people. Not come to the mission and say, well, I have found the Messiah, therefore I am an avatar or a paravipra, or I don't have to do anything. Not at all. That means action. This mission is an action-oriented mission, and that's what God wants. God is active and created the whole universe with doing, not by sitting there and just saying, no, I'm great, I'm God, therefore I'm better than the rest of the creation. Indeed, as Christ said, he is the humblest, is greatest in the eye of God. So we have to break the idols of our psychological upbringing and the wrong teaching of the societies or the places we have born and raised up. I had to break those idols myself, and now I'm asking you do the same. Let the Spirit of God to come through and let those idols and misunderstanding and misconceptions go away. Therefore, you can free yourself to God. Actually, the process of recognizing and realizing yourself is not concentrating on self and always looking to see what that self is, but forgetting that self and dissolving it for a greater purpose and reason. Indeed, when you dissolve that and you no longer concentrating on that, but you are absolutely absorbed into a greater purpose, that is when you expand and you no longer become depressed or feeling unworthy or whatever that ego tells us to believe. When we are absolutely absorbed to God and His purpose, then we do not think about ourselves, but we expand ourselves to the universe And then you really understand and realize who you are. You are not that little I that tries to make you small, but you have been observed to a greater purpose. And therefore, you are free and released, creative, and no longer a warped star. So we have to understand that when we say know thyself, doesn't mean close your eyes and concentrate, who am I, 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 but realize that your essence and God, which is universe, is one. That's who you are. You're expanded to the whole universe. You're no longer small who I am, but you are God. And therefore your purpose and His purpose are one. There's no separation between what God wants and what you want. No matter what the external world says, does, preaches, and tells you, you recognize and realize that the more we can bring people to godliness, the more God's Spirit will be on earth, and therefore a small issue that has been separating and destroying humanity become null and void, become nothing. It's not even worth considering to discuss them or make them a point of contention for humanity. But create the communities of light based on God's laws and word. The more we create such an environment, the less small matters will be resolved and dissolved by itself. The more we put God out, the more we become egoistical and self-centered, the more small issues become important. And because we have lost our way from God, anybody or anything and any idea will catch our attention. And because we don't know the way, we are looking for a way. And those who are not godly tell us what the way is when we accept those ways as the truth, and therefore, after a while, ungodly ideas appeal to us, and godly ideas seem so strange. Because we have lost our way, we are in an unfamiliar territory. We are not in the light anymore to hear the word of God clearly, and therefore, the word of the darkness become light for us, and we are lost. And that's why God sends His revelation to man and tell him or tell them, turn around. Be baptized in the Spirit of God. That's what baptism means. We turn around toward light. And the word of God, of course, are light and guiding light for humanity, to show them where to go. Without that guiding lights, you will be absolutely in darkness and you fall for anything that you can hold on and seems to might guide you out of where you are. So this is a battle or a situation that has been with humanity from the beginning. As you remember, even before creation, there was darkness and God moved and tried to help darkness to bring it back to light. So the goal of the life is to become divine, to become one with the light. And if we lose that vision, then we are lost. So this teaching again is calling humanity to recognize and realize that this body, this life, this creation is not permanent, they're temporary. That's why nothing in this universe stays permanent. No matter how many plastic surgery you will have, how many Botox you will put in your face, how many nose job you will have, how many times you try to make yourself young and beautiful, it's not going to be permanent. And the more humanity are in the delusion that they want to make this temporary place a permanent place, then more they will realize that they cannot achieve it. It's an illusion. And we can see humanity even falling in that illusion in a greater degree. They can use that resources, that money that they're spending to make a temporary thing permanent to help those who do not have, or spend it to reach to the space and a greater degree of researching. For humanity, we will have less gap between humans, and therefore we can create an environment that they can become close and closer together and eventually realize that this life is temporary, but they shall return. Why being so attached to this body, when you know, when you leave it, you can come back with a young body and continue your life. You don't spend even a penny doing that. You absolutely go and come back, and you're here again. The life and death and rebirth and continuation life become a dance for you, and you always realize that this world is going to be there after you return. And dying is not really a big deal either. It's just like a deep sleep. Do you regret to fall asleep when the time comes and you're tired, sleepy? Eventually you fall asleep. Actually, sometimes you look forward to going to bed and fall asleep. So death is deep sleep and is nothing really to be afraid of. Because the more you meditate and you fall into that sleep state and recognize and realize even in your meditation you can die and return, then death and birth become very clear to you and you're not afraid of it at all. The only thing really the people who get old should be afraid of is not have an environment that they can be taken care of. They can be comforted. They don't have to worry when they're old. They're going to be in a street, or nobody will care for them or know even what's happening to them. If you create that kind of environment in the communities of light, that older people know that when they're old, there will be a place for them to be and taken care of and die in peace. With all this understanding, life become really a struggle to become good, to bring light to ourselves and people around us, and create more lights that also can teach this thing to humanity. Therefore, we can see this is the salvation of man. No other religion or revelation had so much truth in them. None of them fulfilled the prophecies and coming of this revelation at the end time. And anybody who believes their religion or teachings is the best, is the last, is the highest, they do not know the will of God. They have not gone to study the Word of God, that only at the end time, after seventh revelation, the whole truth will reveal to humanity, and before this revelation, everything else before it is a mystery, and therefore it means whoever claims that their revelation is the last, or the best, or the highest, or explain the mystery of God, they have not recognized the Word of God. They are not submissive and surrendered to God. Of course, humanity is very attached to their culture, their religion, their understanding, and they cannot realize that God can do whatever He wants, and He already said what He's going to do. And if you understand His teaching and realize that indeed there will be seven revelation, and at the end, this seventh revelation will reveal a non-dogmatic path to humanity, then they will give up their attachment to the things that the preachers and their cultures and the people around them told them that is the way it is. Of course, as I said many times, they are not gonna hold their breath to see this happens in short period of time. We will continue preaching and teaching this revelation, and we'll reach in any way we could to every corner of the earth in any way possible, and God gives us the resources and ability to do. We will do that, and we will wait until humanity go through the destructive tendencies that they have on earth and eventually reach a point that they say, yes indeed, what we do is not godly, what we do is destructive, what we do will not lead to the kingdom of God on earth. The more they scratch each other's face, the more they will lose the purpose they start the war in the first place. Even they start war with no good reason. And we recognize that the motivation and their misunderstanding is deep in their hearts, and eventually they should hit the bottom and they recognize that what they do is not from God. God is not disunity. God is not separation. How could He be? God is everything. How can He say a part of my body is better than other part and create separation? Can't. It's impossible for God to say this part is better than that part. The only thing He wants is to see the darkened part of His body to return home, to become one with it again. And the way to do that is to create an environment that the people born in a nurturing, loving environment in the comings of light are born and raised responsible people who, when they become young and grown up, will recognize their responsibility to bring the resources to the community, and therefore their children will have enough to eat and grow up. They themselves also will have enough in the community. The old will put effort in helping the community and helping the children, and therefore the safety of the community is secured and guaranteed. And when the old become in an age that they no longer can function, they know they will be taken care of in the community, and they shall know that they will return. When the time comes to leave, they would know, because they are yogis and they see the energy is leaving them. Just like that American Indian is very familiar with his body. He says, this is a good day to die. And he goes and he makes his bed and lie down in it, and that's it. He goes into deep sleep of death. So life become no struggle. Life become a beautiful setup of God, which has been trying to show and teach humanity to this point, and they resist and they fight back all the way to this point. And now He says, okay, I have chosen my elects. For 12,000 years I have history, I have brought revelation through my prophets, I have revealed to humanity what is my will. And those who still resist it will not be born or reincarnated for 1,000 years. My elect will. Now He's calling the elect. Come forward, elects. Come together, create the communities of light. Put your effort in creation of the communities of light. Come together, share. That's one of the things humanity have to learn. And it seems to be a very difficult task for a lot of them, to come together And greatest sharing you can do is let your ego go. Share your being with other people by becoming one with the Word. And let the Word be with you and be truth and true to it. In the Word, you can be with the people with no ego and share with them. And the more we can create people with unity in the world, we can create a greater community of light. So sharing is the word, is something that we have to learn. Because as far as we have ego, we will have a hard time to share. Any small differences than what we expect and what is happening in the community or the way we want things to be, throw us out of the balance, and we take our ego, we run away with it. Don't run away. Stay in the community and meditate and recognize that there's no place to run. Because if you run, then you become a lost sheep. And God have to leave all the other sheeps and come and turn you around back to the flock. And if you go that far that you completely leave and lost, of course there's going to be wolves up there that are going to eat you up. So, it is the recognition of ego is the resistance. Ego has all kind of excuse not to let us to see this wonderful vision that God sent us. Of course, God knew this vision from the very beginning when He went to the darkness and went through the eternal divine path and eventually said, there is light, there is a way, there is hope that we can turn around this darkness back to light. And now has revealed it to man again after 12,000 years and telling them the same thing. There is a way, there is hope. Turn around, be baptized. Go away from darkness, which is ego, self-centeredness, and expand yourself and dissolve yourself into God, and that's who you are. There's a misconception when we say, know thyself. They think you sit meditating and say, who am I, who am I, who am I? When we say, know thyself to know how expanded you are. You are a part of God. Experience the absorption to God. Not who am I and be more self-centered. Elganam has his hand up. Elganam, I have to ask you a couple of questions. Do you know what is the eternal divine path? Can you type it in text to see if you have read our teachings and you know anything about our teaching first before you can have the mic? Do you know what eternal divine path is? Type it in text. Go ahead until you type your answers there. Tell us, what is the eternal divine path? What this mission is all about? Only people who have gone to our website, which is posted there many times in our room, and also it's at the top of the room, and you have studied our teaching, at least you know base of our teaching, through our experience, the topic will not be based on this revelation, and that's what we are here for. We are here to discuss the eternal divine path and this revelation, and therefore we like people who come here also are interested to study and discuss these teachings. If you know nothing about the teachings, there is no discussion. We know about our religion, but you don't know about ours. That doesn't make a good way to discuss when one side knows the teaching and other side doesn't. So we like people to go and study a teaching before they can have the mic. We haven't been studying our teaching last time we were here. If there's no question, I go back to where we were and I like to go through our teaching in this room when there is no conversation, so we all can see the whole vision, how the whole thing is so well fall in their places, and like a puzzle. Without any of them, something is missing. So we're discussing that how God created man and they failed and they received body and telepathic ability taken away from them after the flood of Noah. And the flood of Noah is an evolutionary step that nobody has realized it to this point. Everybody talk about the flood of Noah, but what happened? God killed the rest of the humanity and just saved Noah and his children, and that was it. They were the same kind of a people. Then Bible clearly says they were men of renown. In our teaching, we see that, no, God created four classes of human. Shudras, workers, Kshatriyas, warriors, Vipras, intellectuals, and Vaishyas, or business people. And we have been in the cyclical movement for last 12,000 years. In the beginning, they were Shudras, they were afraid. The only thing they wanted to have their food and shelter. And then one of them became more brave, and he became the leader of them. He became captain. They eventually created the empires. And as the kingdom expanded, they became more and more dependent on intellectuals and the ministers. So intellectuals became more powerful and took over the kingdom, but kept the king as a figurehead and continued their ways. And that is when the superstitious and dogmas started with the intellectual to bound their subjects more and more to a point that they're afraid even leave their religions and go and study other ideas, and they call other ideas from devil, therefore I don't have to read them or understand them and realize, yeah, they can be from God too. Eventually, in the time of Renaissance, it became the greatest intellectual revolution for humanity, and science started flourishing, and eventually human came to the point they thought with science and intellectual endeavor, they can explain everything. As intellectual became powerful and they had the resources, one of the things about them is they are sensual, that they like to have their resources spent for what they desire. So as they spend their money and then the resources, the Vaishyas or business people accumulated wealth. There's a point that Louis XVI is a king, but he owes everything he has to the business people. And at the time of the Industrial Revolution, of course, the business became more powerful, and we are in that era that business sets the tone for society and humanity. The higher values are sacrificed for business values and how they can sell more and we buy more. Now we can see that God is out. God is no longer appreciated or considered, because God says save. God says be satisfied with what you have. God says be disciplined. All those things is against the business. You know, if you don't spend and spend and spend, the business is not going to expand. Business can survive by expansion. If business stays still, it dies. That is the nature of business. That's what they have to expand, to buy other businesses, take over this one, take over that one. The small become bigger and bigger, and eventually they become conglomerate and giants. So in the time of the Shudras, the Kshatriyas enslaved the Shudras. In the time of the Vipras, they enslaved Shudras and Kshatriyas. At the time of the business, Vaishyas, they enslaved everybody. Even intellectual, after they study and go to college and come out, they have to go get a job from the business people. Therefore, they are kind of a slave for the business people. Eventually, intellectuals and Vaishyas, they can't stand it anymore. So they gather, and we have the Shudra Revolution, or what's communist ideology says, you know, the rich get richer and eventually the poor revolt against them, take over. That's when the communist ideology stops. They don't know how to explain the next step. You know, and that's why it didn't work, because they didn't know what is the next step. Because the next step when the revolution started with the workers, but the moment it happens, the Katrians or warrior class or police or army take over. You know, even what happened to Russia, the next step were mostly KGB and a police state. And of course, the intellectual can't stand it.
We can see Gorbachev comes and release
the intellectual ideas to Russia. Immediately, the business class took over. And now we see it slipping back to the old ways. Then revolution or progress of humanity slips back. It's a counter-revolution or counter-evolution. And counter-revolution and revolution doesn't stay very long. Eventually, it goes back in the cyclical movement. So now that businessmen start taking over, this cycle is going to continue over and over. West did do something. It made a system that brought more equity and spread and distributed the wealth in a better way than it was in a previous time. But still we see, even in West now, more and more opportunities become less and less easy to find because the businessmen are taking over most of opportunities. The opportunities are left for few people. So this is the cycle is going to happen over and over. As was I say, a lot of people don't know about this part of the teaching of the mission. And we can see
social ideology,
it cannot explain what happened next. And now we see history shows that's what happens. It changes back to warriors and intellectuals and business, and then business take over everything and people become a slave and eventually they revolt and it goes on and on. But there is a way to get out of this cycle. And that is in the Paraviprasas, or the people who are following the eternal divine path, creating the communities of light. Because they are the leader of the society, they can smooth out these cyclical movements by letting the next cycle come without it ends up into revolution or destructive ways. So a system unifies capitalism and other ideology and explains how they work and how the best way to smooth things out and not go through the ups and downs of those cyclical movements. And this happened because after the flood of Noah, humanity was divided to four classes, and these four classes dominate or are dominated in the cyclical movement and eventually will create an environment that the cycle continues happening, but with force and destructive and bloodshed and revolution. But in our system, it's going to be a smooth transition from one period to other. When the business people completely take over and they have all the resources and the ability and opportunities, then the creative of humanity will be destroyed. You can't be creative anymore. You have to be hired with an organization and they tell you where to use your creativity and it decipher a personal ability to create or release the freedom of creativity. So Paraviprasas see that pretty clear, so they start to distributing the wealth again in a more general way and more people will have resources and it's not going to be accumulated in one place or few places, but the creativity will be released again and therefore humanity can become creative and bring new ideas to humanity. And also they are encouraged to create science based on a spirit, just like God. If you look at the universe, is very self-sufficient and self-sustaining system. Even the scavengers and the unclean animals are needed because they're the garbage collectors. They destroy what is dead and spoil in the universe or on earth. when a fish dies, a catfish at the bottom or a crab or other bottom eating, you know, animal, they eat them up and therefore they do not get spoiled and smelly, and it is based on very efficient system that God has created to make the earth clean. Now, if we keep eating the unclean animals, then we're going to have less garbage collector to destroy or dissolve the dead bodies, and then we will have greater pollution on earth and in the ocean, and we are destroying ourselves by destroying the garbage collectors. That's what God said, don't eat unclean animals. First of all, they're unclean, they eat garbage, and second, they're needed. They're needed to clean the garbage of earth. So that's why we recommend don't eat unclean animal. Eat kosher or eat clean animal that God said He has created for our consumption. It's not only the unclean animals are not good for us, we are also destroying ourselves by eating them. Even scientists, they start using the spirit and self-sustaining way of creating a better life for humanity without creating pollution, without creating destructive forces. Now, for instance, if we cut the trees, let's put some trees down when we cut them. So in 20 years from now, when we cut the tree at the end of the forest, we have 20 years trees at the beginning, so we can go and start all over again. Also, when we have green tree, they make more oxygen for humanity. We are destroying a self-sustaining system because we are not thinking ahead. And the sign of a maturity and greatness of each generation is what they leave for the next generation. If we consume everything ourselves and we are not thinking about our children, then we are not a very wise generation and we are not a good generation either. Again, humanity has to start thinking deeper level, a universal point of the view, a godly point of the view, a self-sustaining point of the view, a science based on God and a spirit that doesn't just destroy. That's, again, business mentality. Business mentality is to make more money. Don't think about what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen to our next generation. But let's get as much as we can now. But the spiritual Paravipra won't do that. And because they are at the top of the society, because they are the leaders and they are also connected to God, at least the eldest is, they will consider laws and regulations that sustain the sustainability of earth and our life, therefore our generations can continue and prosper as they come in. So the creation of the Paraviparas, which will emerge from the communities of light, we will have the leaders, they are concerned from every point of the view, and they are scientists, and they accept scientific theories and realization, but at the same time, they know science has a limit. A scientist never can say, okay, I find God. Of course, we can see there was an article about the particle they're searching to find in atom. They want to call it God particle, that everything has come from it. But what that particle came from itself, they don't go that far, because that goes beyond scientific understanding. Tyra is asking, Maitreya, we have a 8-year-old who would like to ask a question, if that's okay. Okay, what is his question or her question?
Okay, I want to ask a question. How did God make everything?
What is your name?
Juliet.
Hi, Juliet. How are you? That's a beautiful question. God created everything from Himself or itself. God is everything. So he used his own body to create everything. That's where God is everything. And if you see God is everything, you are a part of God. So there is no separation between you and God. And if you know yourself, you know that God is in you. And you are a creator yourself like God in a small sense. You can't create the whole universe, but you can create a nice bouquet or a drawing or know your school and study. Or if you go to the kindergarten, you can know alphabet. So you have the same thing as God in you. That's how God created everything. He created everything from his body. Did that answer your question, Juliet?
Yes, thank God.
That's beautiful. If you know to thank God when you are that age, by the time you are a teenager, you are one with God. That's beautiful. Beautiful child. As we said, if you have the children's questions, gather together and answer them or send them to be answered. You might have a section in the mission website for them. And little by little, we can have all the questions answered there too. Who knows, maybe some creative person can take those answers and put them together and bring books for children or publish them even for everybody to read. And instead of teaching children by this and by that, teaching the children they are a part of God. I also just recognize that we are at the end of our time, so we stop our conversation. And again, let us see this vision. Let us realize the call for all of us. Let us reach to everyone, teach them, make them realize the narrowness of the mind, the smallness of the vision. Ego creates separation, destruction, and man has been called to expand themselves, their vision, to realize that their way out is God. Son of everybody, be with God.